comfortable, Debbie. Where have you come from today?
So I currently live in Henley-on-Thames, so not too far. And the traffic was nice and easy at this time in the morning.
Brilliant. You've got some exciting news, haven't you? Or it's something exciting about to happen. Do you want to just tell us about that?
Yeah, so I'm getting married on the 20th of October, which is very exciting.
So we should feel very honoured that Debbie has given up time today to come and speak to us, because I didn't actually realise till a few days ago that she was getting married. So just tell us a little bit about your fiancé.
He's originally South African, lovely Christian guy. We've known each other for 2 years now, and yeah, it's just really exciting thinking about our future together. Probably end up doing something work-wise together. I mean, my heart is very much for, I was a prison officer before. I worked for Christians in Sport alongside rowing, and I worked in people referral units and all sorts of things. So I think my heart is for youngsters, that are a bit more disengaged with school or community. And his heart is very much for people who, have had like past addictions or, mental health, concerns. So I think together, hopefully we will do something together in the future, but I don't know what that looks like yet. There's lots of unknowns, but it's exciting.
Very exciting. Well, I'm going to hand over to you, so thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me this morning. It's nice to be here. Lovely breakfast as well. Thank you for the ladies that did that. So I just want to share a bit about my life and within the world of sport, and alongside that as well, my faith, which has been kind of central and my anchor point within that time of my life as well. So just to give you a bit of my background as well. So I, for those of you who might not know, I was in the British rowing team for 15 years, through juniors, then under 23s, and then the senior team. So I was a spare, or a reserve. Spare's not a very nice word, is it? I was a reserve. I was part of the team, but I didn't race, in Sydney in the year 2000. And then I competed in Athens and Beijing and London. We won a silver medal in Athens and Beijing. And then in London, we came sixth. And then in Rio, I went out to support. So I knew so many of the team that I went out to kind of cheer them on and support. So the rowing world has been such a big part of my life for a long time. But just to take you a bit back to the beginning, because, you know, I started from a novice. You know, I started from not even knowing what rowing was. And as a youngster, I loved doing sport. Actually, my parents were quite sporty. My dad loved running marathons, and my mum kind of would potter about on her bike. And me and my brother were very much encouraged to be outside, doing sport, using our energy up, and absolutely loved it as a youngster. I used to watch the Olympics, and I used to think, wow, they're superhuman. You know, it was like on the TV, it was like a world away. I didn't, you know, it was just something separate to my life. But, you know, I really knew as I was growing up that, you know, sport was a passion for me. And I definitely had a kind of, I definitely was born with that competitive spirit. I really wanted to race and compete. Me and my brother did the same sports, but he was just happy to get fit and to be joining in and doing sport. Whereas I always wanted to race and compete. And I just really loved doing that with my teammates or as an individual. So I used to think, oh, I wonder if I will ever be able to be good enough one day to work my way up to Olympic representation. So I tried lots of different sports when I was at school. Running was my first love because that's what my dad did. So I used to run a lot. And then I got involved in the judo team. So I went to school in quite a rough area. So my parents were keen that we could just look after ourselves and be confident. So I joined a judo club, ended up actually being in the British junior judo team. And it wasn't until I was 17 that I actually came across rowing. Someone came up to me in the gym, because I grew up in Yorkshire. Yorkshire's not renowned for its long straight rivers. It's like rapids and bends. So someone came up to me in the gym. I was using the row machine as part of our judo training. And they said, oh, are you a rower? And I was like, rowing? What's that? You know, I'd never seen it on the television. I'd never been in a paddle boat. My school didn't row. And they said, oh, you're doing really good times in the rowing machine. And I was like, oh, maybe this could be my sport. So judo was quite serious at the time, but I joined a learn to row course in London. Thought to myself, oh, that'd be nice, go to London, up and down the river in the sunshine, see how that goes. Little did I know, actually, it's not just, you don't just jump in the boat and off you go, rowing down the river. I mean, I spent my first week pretty much swimming because I fell in so much. I don't know if most of you might have seen a singles boat, but you know, it's probably from the end of that stage to where I am here on this step, and about that wide. So they're so unstable. But I thought, maybe, you know, I'll give this a go. Joined a local rowing club back in Yorkshire, and, you know, around my school, I was doing A-levels at the time, so around my school hours, I would train in all my spare time. And I was keen. But after about 3 months, the coach came up to me and said, look, Debbie, you know, you're working hard, and I know you're working hard at school, but, you know, realistically, you know, pat on the head, you're not going to be much more than an average club rower. Gutted. You know, as a 17-year-old, being told, Ashley, you're not going to make it, you're not really good enough, was really tough. I went home and spoke to my dad, and he said, well, look, do you enjoy it? And I said, I do. I actually do really enjoy it. I'm not doing very well, but I do enjoy rowing. And he said, well, do you know what? If you work hard at something, then the fact is you will improve. Now, you don't know how much that's going to be, but you will. So if you want to carry on giving it a go, then carry on. Obviously, I did. I found a different coach. And again, you know, God places people in our paths along the way to keep us on track and to try and help us out. And again, I'm from Yorkshire. I could talk for hours. But I was introduced to the chief coach of the GB team, the GB junior team. Now, if you're the chief coach of the GB junior team, you'll get parents and teachers and coaches ringing you all the time to say, we've got this girl, we've got this boy, come and look at them, they could be good. He would never go, because actually his job was to coach the top people. People would go to, you know, trials is an open system, people could go to the trials, and he would just coach the top people once they got to final trials. But for some reason, he came to look at me, looked at me on the rowing machine and was like, oh, that's good. And then went out on the water, and, you know, I was on the wrong side of the river and nearly fell in. It was terrible. So he sat down with me afterwards for half an hour, and said, right, I'm going to coach you. I want you to travel to Nottingham every weekend. It doesn't matter how you do it at the first trials. I'm going to take you on the first junior training camp to Spain. And I was like, okay. He's like, I'll get you some funding for petrol. And it went from there. And that really was the beginning of my rowing career. And under his kind of tutelage, I ended up going to the Junior World Championships at the end of that year. And then it kind of continued on from there into that 15 years. And for me, you know, I wasn't necessarily a natural when I first started, but actually that was the path that was placed in front of me. And I just kept walking down it. And doors almost shut, but never quite fully. You know, they kept open, and I, you know, partly it was a passion that I had, but partly I just knew that God would lead those paths, and I trusted that actually if I kept walking and it wasn't the right way, then he would completely shut that door if it wasn't that the right way for me to commit my whole life into that, because, you know, not everyone can do that. And, you know, we're all on our different journeys, aren't we? All on different paths, and we learn different things along the way. And we, you know, God blesses us each with different abilities and skills and opportunities. For me, that passion and the opportunities were within sport. You know, for each of you, there have been different things throughout your life and different passions, different energies, different things that you're brilliant at. And as a youngster, again, just bringing in my Christian faith as well, like, obviously sport was a passion throughout from a youngster. Faith-wise, I grew up in a Christian home, so I went to church every Sunday from when I was born. My grandparents were missionaries in Liberia, in Africa. And if you'd have asked me when I was a teenager, you know, are you a Christian? Do you believe in God? I would have said, oh yes, well, my parents are Christians and I go to church on Sundays. And I used to think it was an automatic thing. But actually it wasn't until I was 15 when I joined our youth group that I started to hear a bit more about who Jesus was and why he came and the life he lived and what impact that has on us. And I suddenly realized that, yes, I already knew that God blesses us all with different abilities and skills and gifts. And I was quite happy to take that. I was quite happy to say, thank you very much. I love my sport. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to, you know, enjoy what I've been given and what the world has to offer. But I realized that, yeah, not only does God give us purpose and ability, and each one of us is precious. But first and foremost, he wants a relationship with us. And I suddenly realised this as a 15-year-old, actually God wants a relationship with me. And learning about Jesus and his life and why he came, I suddenly realised that I can't earn my way to God. It's not automatic, and I can't be good enough to earn my way to heaven. Actually, I need Jesus in my life. And so as a 15-year-old, you know, my 15-year-old mind and way, I acknowledge that, and I acknowledge that I wanted to restore my relationship with God, and to do that I needed to invite Jesus into my life, and was sorry for having, you know, ignored that before and just lived my own life without him. So that was the beginning of my Christian faith and walk. And, you know, those of you who may be Christians here today, we know, don't we, that, you know, it's a journey. We're always learning. You know, God's always teaching us more. You know, there are days and there are times and seasons of life where we feel really close to God, and there are days and seasons of life where we feel really far away. But it's a journey, and we know that, you know, when we become a Christian, actually he is with us all the time. He is a part of us, whatever we do and wherever we go. And like I say, we're all on our different journeys, and for me, my sports life has been the path which God has taught me so much. You know, for example, we have our life plans, don't we? We all make plans, life plans. And for me, as an 18-year-old, my life plan was to row full-time for 2 years and then become a veterinary surgeon. That was my life plan. Had it all worked out. I'd done all the work experience. I was just going to do this Olympic thing, go to the Sydney Olympics, and then become a veterinary surgeon. So I finished school when I was 18. I decided to take a two-year gap year. And trained full time. So I moved south, trained full time, which is 2 or 3 times every day. A session would be about between 1 hour and 40 minutes and 2 hours. So twice in the morning and then once in the afternoon. We only get 3 weeks off a year. So after the World Championships, after the Olympics, we get 3 weeks off. And apart from that, you get the odd day. So if you've raced, you always get the day off afterwards. Or sometimes if you've got a long haul travel, you might get that as a rest day. So no weekends, no lie-ins, just 2 or 3 times training every day. And I did that for 2 years. And at the end of those 2 years, I had my trials for the Sydney Olympics. And I didn't make it. Okay, I was trying to go for my single, and I came second. And that meant I didn't get the slot. And I was absolutely gutted. As a 20-year-old, that was like just the worst point in my life ever. And I questioned God in that moment. And I said, I have just wasted 2 years of my life. I've trained full time. I've moved away from my friends and family. And I haven't achieved what I wanted to achieve. I haven't achieved my life plan. And I said, God, what was the point of that? Like, what a waste. And actually, at the time, it took my coach to pick me back up and say, look, Debbie, you've trained hard. This, no time is not wasted. You know, you've worked hard, and okay, you haven't made where you wanted to be, but actually you've still achieved a good level, and you've got other things you can do this year. The year still holds something for you. And I had the under-23 World Championships that year, and also Henley Royal Regatta. But I wasn't interested. But my coach kind of picked me back up and said, look, do these things, finish off your year. So I ended up doing Henley Royal Regatta and the under-23 World Championships in my single, and actually I ended up having an amazing summer, and I won both of those events, but it's not about the results. Absolutely loved the teams that I was a part of. I loved racing at Henley Royal Regatta. It was such a unique place to race. And I got to the end of that year, and I did go to Sydney as a reserve. That's a reserve. And I looked back, I got to the end of that year, and I thought, I have had the most amazing summer. And I looked back and I thought, do you know what? If you gave me that choice again, doing what I did with the under-23s and Henley Royal Regatta, or if you gave me the choice to go to the Sydney Olympics instead, which I wasn't good enough for at the time, you know, what would I have chosen? I would have chosen exactly what happened. And it was a real light bulb moment for me, because again, I can look back on those 2 years, and again, I could talk for hours, but all the different things and the places that I ended up living, the people that were put in my path, I could just see where God had guided that path, even though it looked so strange. And it reminded me of my favourite verse, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And for me, it was just such a big you know, sometimes we're only when we look back on things we realise, don't we? But for me, just the presence of God in my life, that just real, he just taught me, you know what, you might not know what the future looks like, you might not understand why you're in a place, but he knows. And just to put your hand in his and trust in him. And for me, that was a big lesson in that year. And something that I kind of cling on to through the next 13 years, through the ups and downs. Because, you know, life is not smooth, is it? Even as a Christian, you know, life has its ups and downs. It doesn't mean that when you become a Christian, life is rosy. But it does mean that God's with you, in it, alongside you, to rely on and trust in. And, you know, the sport, the world of elite sport it's an all-consuming world. You know, the training, but everything around the training. So you've got to, it's like, yes, gold medal training, but gold medal eating, gold medal resting, gold medal sleeping, gold medal stretching. You know, it's kind of, that whole mentality is to, for the team, for us, you know, our aim is to win medals against the rest of the world. So, you know, every session counts and medals are won by fractions of a second. So it can become like, it kind of takes over every aspect of your day. And as a sports person, it's very easy for that to become your identity. You know, I'm sure it's easy in other aspects, in work or in family life, or what you do to become your identity. But the danger in sport, if your sport is your identity, is that when you're, well, many athletes, you know, when they're doing well in their sport, they feel like they're winning in life and they feel like they're great as a person as well. And then when things are going badly or they're injured or ill, athletes can very easily feel like they're just failing in life, that they're not good enough. Because if your identity is in sport, then it goes from these highs and lows all the time. And, you know, in sport, you can go from hero to zero overnight in an injury or an illness. But for me, you know, my identity is in my faith and my identity is in Jesus. And that is unchanging. You know, the world's opinion of us changes all the time, doesn't it? From day to day or week to week, depending on what's going on in life. But actually, God's view of us is unchanging. Like, his love is unchanging and his faithfulness is unchanging. And for me, that has been my anchor throughout the ups and downs of the rowing life. You know, that's been my stability, really, I would say, throughout all that time. And I've seen many athletes really broken by results. Our silver medal in Beijing it's amazing to win a silver medal at the Olympics, but that race broke two of our crew. One of them never recovered. She just felt like she was a complete failure, because there was so much expectation on us to win that race. And, you know, her identity was so in her sport. It was her be-all and everything. And it's really hard to see that. And, you know, we've obviously tried to be supporting her along the way. And she's still one of my best friends. She's coming to the wedding and everything. A lot of my friends that I've rowed with within the rowing are still, you know, you build great friendships. But you can see how, you know, the world and other people's opinions, it can swing how we feel about ourselves, can't it? But for me, you know, the Bible is God's word and God's truth. And, you know, when I'm going through those ups and downs, that's what I come back to, because his word is unchanging. It doesn't matter how I see myself in ups and in downs. Actually, the Bible tells me that God sees me as precious. And each one of us as hugely worth and with such value. And each of us are uniquely and wonderfully made with different skills, different abilities. But everyone precious to God. And I think, you know, people and the world loses sight of that because we put our identity in other people's hands so much. And I think that's been the biggest learning for me through sport, when, you know, people's opinions of you can change all the time. So I could, again, like I say, I could keep telling you stories and chatting for ages, but I do want to leave it open to some question and answers. You know, if any questions, no question, I don't mind answering anything about the sport, about the faith. Yeah, so I think we've got a mic that's going to go around. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's been a huge honour and privilege to represent my country through those 15 years. traveling the world, you know, being with amazing teammates, learning so much through my sport. But you know, it's an even greater privilege and honour for me to be representing Jesus in my sport as well. Wherever I am, or wherever we are as Christians, that is our mission field. So, you know, different seasons of life will come along. So, you know, I was been a rower for that season of life. Now I'm working for Christians in sport. I was a prisoner for a small season of life. You know, hope I'm going to be a wife next for the next season of life. And, you know, things in our lives change all the time. Sometimes in the way we want, sometimes not in the way we want. But for me, yeah, again, my faith being the stability throughout all of that. So, yeah.
Does anybody have any questions? Jackie.
With all the training, did you manage to get to church on Sundays? And if you didn't, how did you stay close to God?
Yeah, good question. So to start with, before I started travelling, it wasn't too bad. They did always train on Sundays. But again, I could chat for ages. But when I first got into the team, when I was a youngster. So when I was a junior in that time, I was kind of doing my own training most of the time because I was in different sports. So I was able to be at church on Sundays as a youngster growing up. But as soon as I stepped into the international world, if you like, that changed because often we were away. Often the team was training on Sundays. But when I first got on the team, I was so shy. I would not be speaking to anyone. I would not be doing a talk, you know, to a group of people or anything. I was so shy. But because I kind of rose quite quickly, once I did get under the tutelage of Mark Banks, I got interviewed for the Regatta magazine by James Cracknell, who was one of the main rowers at the time. And I remember him interviewing me and asking me what I did in my spare time, etc. And I said, oh, I went to church on Sundays and I sometimes helped with the church in the week, not expecting him to even report it or say anything about it. And then the next thing I knew, the fact that I was a Christian had gone out to every single row in the country. And I was like, that was really scary. And I was thinking, what is everyone going to think? And what are people going to say? And do you know what? It was the biggest blessing and the best thing that could have ever happened, because actually, straight out, everyone knew that I was a Christian, and it gave opportunities for people to come and ask me questions. And it also gave opportunity for those other people within the like rowing environment that were Christians to come up and say, oh, I'm a Christian too, and have that like encouragement of knowing other Christians within your world of sport. So that was the first thing, which gave amazing opportunities. And then secondly, I was blessed to always be part of a good church who looked after me, who were a real church family. So because I was a youngster, they kind of took me under their wing. And even if I wasn't at church on Sundays, I knew that they were praying for me. I knew that they would know where I was when I was away. And actually, that meant so much, knowing that I was being prayed for at home and knowing that they actually cared about not just how well I was doing in my sport, but actually how I was and how I was doing. So they would always be following up with me when I got back. In the week, they would invite me around for dinner and things like that and looked after me as a youngster. So that was a great blessing. But also, because I was known as a Christian right from the beginning, my coach, Mark, who's not a Christian yet, but he came to my baptism and he's very happy for me to do Christian events at the club and things. But he knew that that was central in my life and of huge importance to me. And he allowed me second session on a Sunday to go to church. So I didn't have to join in second session when I was doing the club training, which was international, but it was one of our kind of feeder clubs, the GB team. But he allowed me to go off after second session and do the second session in my own time, which of course came with loads of banter. You know, all the other athletes, oh, Debbie says she's going off to church, I'm not sure if she is, you know, kind of, you know. But he was, you know, so supportive of that, even, you know, not necessarily sharing my faith. But because I was open and because I was honest about how that was important in my life, even though I was nervous as a youngster of doing that was, you know, God really honoured that and allowed other people to work with me in that. Also, Christians in Sport, who I now work for, they kind of took me on as well as a youngster. So when I first left home in Yorkshire, my Sunday school, my youth group leader rang Christians in Sport and said, can you do anything for this kind of waif and stray who's moving away from home? And, you know, they would meet up with me once a month to do Bible study, and they would be continually praying for me and messaging and seeing how training was going, see how life was going. And looking back, maybe at the time I didn't see what a blessing that was, but looking back, it was wonderful to have those things, have the church that supported me, even though when I'm not there, the Christians in Sport, and then one or two key friends who were Christians, because, you know, we all need people who encourage us, don't we? And it's amazing to be encouraged by friends and people who say, you know, go for it, we believe in you, we know you can do it, you know, we're for you. But there's nothing like someone who can do that and someone who can be encouraging you in your faith and be directing you back to God's wisdom and truth in his word. So the one or two key Christian friends that I had were such a blessing as well in, you know, keeping me accountable, encouraging me, but also challenging me, because we all need challenging to be growing and to be, you know, maturing in life. We need people around us that are being loving but challenging as well. So I can't remember if that answers the question. Sorry. But yeah, it wasn't every single week, but I had people and community still around me. And because it could often feel very isolating. At first, I was the only Christian in the rowing team. So I would go away on training camps, it would just be me. So that also took for me to be disciplined in, you know, doing quiet times and spending, you know, time praying and looking at, you know, the Bible for myself or listening to something online. And sometimes I was good at that and sometimes I really wasn't. So it was, for me, it was trying to build up those habits and those disciplines, as we all do need to all the time. And even now, you know, I still need to come back to being disciplined in, you know, and for me, I like having routine and habits, so it's easier for me to do that. But obviously, we can pray wherever we are, whenever we like, all the time, on the go. But actually, it's nice just to sit and start the day, you know, in God's word. Because at the end of the, you know, when you wake up, the day is going to hold lots of things. It might be great things, it might be things that you're nervous about, it might be all sorts in the day. But when we wake, you know, at the beginning of the day stands the Lord who made it. And so we're walking into the day with him. So to remind ourselves of that in the morning is just such a blessing. So yeah, I would say that for me now, you know, I've learned through sport, you know, what discipline is, what perseverance is. You know, I could get up every morning and go training. So the challenge to me now is, am I still being disciplined and persevering in my Christian faith? Because yes, I'm a Christian, and yes, you know, I am, you know, my life is with God now and will be forever. But God doesn't just leave us where we are. He wants to draw us closer and he wants us to know more of him. So, you know, am I being kind of learning to grow still in there, which is always something that we want to do. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any other questions? Yes.
You said at one point you had planned your life. So what happened to all your life plans now that you changed it completely?
Well, it's interesting because we make plans because we think that's what's the best for us. And, you know, we have a mixture of wants and needs, don't we? But God knows what we need, and that's not always what we want, if that makes sense. Because when I first stepped into rowing, I stepped into rowing for 2 years. That was my life plan. Row for 2 years, then I'm going to become a veterinary surgeon. Now, if I knew, as a 18-year-old or 17-year-old, that if you take this step into rowing, you're going to be rowing full-time for 15 years, I'd have said, no way. No thanks. Rowing full-time for 15 years, absolutely no way I'm not stepping down this path. But you ask me now, as a, you know, mid-30-year-old, I'd say, what a blessing that was. I absolutely loved it. It was incredible, amazing privilege. So I can see now that that was an amazing life path that I learned so much on, through the heartache, through the ups and downs. But at the beginning, I wouldn't have walked it. But God knew what I needed, and God knew how he was going to teach me and, you know, show me him. So that's the path that he had me on. So he only kind of makes me take little steps at a time. And the same with the work, you know. I wanted to be a veterinary surgeon, no question. Even until Beijing 2008, I was potentially going to still go to veterinary school. But, you know, God just really directed my heart bit by bit. You know, I worked in doing school talks to encourage and motivate youngsters just to like work hard at anything that they're good at and things that they're not good at. And then gradually I was asked to mentor a few youngsters that were like 4 or 5 years below their learning age for lots of different reasons. That then led me to want to work with more disengaged or disruptive youngsters at school. That then led me to being a volunteer in the, a juvenile prison, 15 to 18 year old males. Then that led me to be a prison officer. Then I worked with adult males. So, but if you'd have said to me, if you go into this school to do this motivational talk, that path is going to lead you to be a prison officer, I'd be like, no way, no thanks, I'm not going to do it. And again, like, God knows, you know, what we need to be challenged and to grow and to learn. And even though they're the paths that I wouldn't have chosen to be on, I'm so glad I was on them. But it doesn't mean it's easy, you know, taking those kind of steps of faith and into something that you have no idea how you're going to cope with it or, you know, what you're going to bring to it. But just trusting that if that's where God's leading, that he will be with you and help you through it. So life plans, I keep making them, but they never quite turn out as I planned. And again, like even, you know, to the point of, you know, getting married next month, that's been a journey. And we wouldn't have picked each other, but God brought us together and has made us realize that actually, yeah, we're exactly what each other kind of need in this journey alongside each other as a couple. And, you know, I remember being asked once, what has been your greatest challenge? And my initial thought would be to think, right, well, what injuries, you know, what disappointments, and that would be where am I initially. But actually, where we find that we're most challenged is where our heart is. So the question is more, where is your heart? And my heart was always to be married and to have family. And I thought I'd be married and have kids by the time I was 21. And so that period of time, I'm 37 now, and that period of time until I was 35 of, you know, one or two boyfriends, just feeling real, almost rejection really in that period of time, because that was where my heart was, that's what I wanted, but it just wasn't the right time. And, you know, rowing was that focus, that was the, what, you know, where God had placed me for that time. And actually, I feel so blessed now, you know, it's, you know, that kind of thing. We make plans, but it's continually being able to give them to God. And if they're in a line with him, then he will make, you know, he will walk with you in them. But actually, if there's something completely different, it's trusting that actually that's going to be something that God's going to use to help us or teach us. And, you know, even in the hard times, I found that God brings alongside me people who have suffered the similar heartaches or similar disappointments or similar testings and trials, and I can then encourage them in how I got through or how God helped me get through, and I can walk alongside them in their suffering because I get it. And, you know, God brings us together for that as well, doesn't he? So, yeah, we like to make our plans, don't we? But, and it's good to make plans, but to yeah, be entrusting them to God as well.
Well, I just want to say a huge thank you, Debbie, for coming and sharing your passion, not just for rowing, but for Jesus. I'm sure many of you will agree that it's been a real encouragement to hear how you've trusted the Lord in all the ups and downs of life. I'm probably the least sporty person here, but it really spoke to me just about how we think, we have ideas about how our life is going to pan out, and it very rarely goes quite like that, but we can trust in Jesus. And that was a real encouragement to hear that, and that for all of us, whether you're sporty or not. So thank you.
Do feel free to come and chat with me afterwards as well. I have got my...
I was going to say, it's
yeah, I have got my Olympic medals with me and also my... I was able to carry a torch in London. I was nominated. And so if you haven't, you might have already seen one because they've been around schools and things like that. But if you haven't seen one, just do come and have a look at the end. It's got 8,000 holes to represent 8,000 miles that the flame travelled around the country. And also 8,000 people carried a torch. It's got lots of layers of holes, you can see through it. And it's got three sides to represent three times that London have held the Olympic Games. And it's got, I used to think the Olympians were superhuman. Well, we are, because there's a superhuman handhold in the bottom here. No, that's not true, actually. I'm a bit of a muppet, actually, shut it in my car door. Yeah. Yeah, so it's got a dent. No, I'm not joking. I did shut it in my car door. And I've got my...
Yeah, we want to see them all.
I've got my Beijing and Athens medal. Again, please do, if you want to, have a little look at the end. But again, just to I guess re-emphasise as well, like, you know, I remember being asked the question, oh, if I could give you a gold London Olympic medal or a gold, you know, all of it, can I change them all into gold, you know, would you prefer that over your faith? And, you know, for me, you know, anything that we achieve or successes or things, you know, they will eventually pass away. And, you know, for me, in the light of eternity, you know, Jesus is the most precious thing that I have. And, you know, that is going to be what lasts. So just to encourage all of you, if you don't yet know Jesus, it's the most important choice you'll ever make in your life and the most amazing one. So, just to encourage you in that. So, again, so this is the Beijing one, but it hasn't got a ribbon because I did actually lose this one. But it was, I do lots of, like, I do some city, like, ergo regattas and things, and I was travelling from here, from Henley to Leeds, to Bristol, to London, to Leeds, and in that period of time, I started with two and I ended with one, but anyway. So this is my Athens one, and then the Beijing one. They're solid silver, so they're heavier than they look, but please feel free to come and have a look at them at the end. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you'd like to join me. Amazed because Debbie did that without any notes, and here I am with my serviette with things to remember. So, just a few little things before we go. Our next event will be in January. We're having a curry night, so look out for details of that for January. There is a basket on the bar. Is that what you call it? The bar? Sounds a bit funny when I said it out loud. For donations, we'd appreciate £3 if you're able to cover the breakfast, and any help with the washing up would be greatly appreciated as well. But let's just close with a prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the way that Debbie has been able to share her faith with us. And I just pray that as we each go back to get on with our days, that you would help us to look to you to guide us in the way that we live our lives. So just pray that we wouldn't forget what we've been challenged and encouraged by today, but that we would look to put you first in our lives. And we just thank you that you love us and are with us during the ups and downs of our life. So we just pray that you would be with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.